Major General Marion E. Carl. The sky was full of them. Major General Marion E. Carl was one of the Marine Corps' foremost aviators. In World War II, he was a leading ace with 18 kills of Japanese aircraft. He later was a test pilot and rose to command a Marine aircraft wing. In this segment of an oral history interview conducted in 1973, Carl, who was a first lieutenant at the beginning of World War II, describes his actions as a fighter pilot in VMF 221 in the opening action of the pivotal Battle of Midway. The first priority of the Japanese was to neutralize the Marine base on Midway. A very small force of Marine fighter pilots sortied out to confront the 108-plane air armada headed toward Midway to overwhelm the Marine defenders. For Carl and the other fighter pilots in VMF 221, this was their first combat. For most of them, it was also their last. Although the Marines had prepared for the attack, as in all combat situations, whether in the air, on the ground, or at sea, things do not go according to plan, as we learn from the following account.
Battle of Midway itself. About 2 weeks before the battle, we got some F-4Fs. I don't remember just how many, but it was someplace in the neighborhood of eight. And one division, all the divisions were six airplanes and two airplane elements. And one division got F-4Fs, and I was in that division. So I was flying F-4Fs in the Battle of Midway. John Kerry had the division. He was the division leader. And on the scramble that morning, we were one of the first ones to get off, but unfortunately, McCarthy and his, one of the element leaders, McCarthy and his wingman was up on patrol in F-4Fs. We never saw him again. So that left just four in that division. Schwanzberger was one of the others, but that left Kerry, Canfield, Carl, and Schwanzberger left. Canfield was my wingman, and Schwanzberger was Carey's wingman. Well, on the scramble, Schwanzberger got screwed up somehow or other and joined up on the wrong division. Well, it was too late to unscramble it, so that's just the way it was. And as far as the group was concerned, as it turned out, they'd forgotten, apparently, the two airplanes had been up on patrol, and they didn't know that Schwanzberger hadn't joined up, so they assumed that the F-4Fs, which was they felt was the better airplanes, I suppose, was the six-plane division, and they vectored us out, and we went out by ourselves. Now, I don't know if the rest of them went out by themselves, not for this division, but they didn't put the whole squadron together and send it out as one flight. So they sent us out, and we're going out at this. I remember somewhere around 12, 14,000 feet is what the altitude they told us to take. And gave us the vector, and I put Canfield up on Kerry's wing, and now I'm killing Charlie all by myself. Well, we run into the Japs out, say, 30 miles or so. I've forgotten exactly how far. It wasn't too far, 30 miles. And we're both the bombers, so we elect to make a, what's called an overhead, to just roll over our back and come right straight down from above. And just about the time I'm ready to roll over, I catch sight of all these damn zeros up above, which I've not seen. There were some clouds. Christ, the air was full of them. So I complete my pass, but instead of pulling out just normally and going on up ahead, like Kerry and Canfield apparently had done, I'd already lost track of them. I just did this and went the opposite direction, see? It took me about 5 seconds to figure out that if I pulled out and headed for the island, I was going to have zeros all over me. If I pulled out and went away from the island, since they were to be covering the bombers, they probably wouldn't follow me, and they didn't. Well, Canfield and Kerry both got shot up pretty badly, but both got back. Just as soon as they rolled over, I'd lost track of them, so I've never seen them again anyway, so I said, okay, away I went. So now I climb up to 20,000 feet and head back to Midway. God, I was down there and nothing. I can't find a friendly airplane anyplace. There's not one in the whole sky as far as I can. I can't seem to contact anybody on the radio either. Of course, in those days, we didn't use the radio very much. So, Jesus Christ. That's fiddling around up there. Next thing I know, I've got a damn shoe on my tail. Well, he's shooting away and trying to figure out how to get rid of him, and I come up on a cloud. So I fly through the cloud. It's just one of the big puffy clouds like they have out there. And just as I hit the cloud, I chopped the gun and threw the damn thing into a skid, see? Well, I come out the other side, the zero's overrun me, see? He's come up on me so fast that he can't do anything to pull up and on and so on. So he ducks down. I wish he'd pulled up. I wouldn't have made the mistake I did. But anyway, he ducks down and goes under me. And now he's out ahead of me. I shove over and pull the trigger on my guns and get nothing. Because at the same time I shove over and pull the trigger, all the damn ammunition at the top of the and every all four guns just plugged up right there, see? If I just waited a second, pulled over, and then pushed over, and waited to let things stabilize for a moment, and then pulled the trigger, everything would have been all right. But I was pretty green, I didn't know any better. Well, nevertheless, that scared him so bad that he took off. Now I'm looking at it, I'm trying to get the guns unplugged. I think I've got three out of the four of them unplugged, but hand charging. And I'm looking around, and pretty soon all the airplanes are left midway, except I see three zeros still fiddling around down there. So I pick one that looks good and dive on him and get him. The rest of them have all gone off. I guess I probably got the last airplane that was hanging around the island. And I go in on that. And that, of course, there was 25 of us took off. Of the 25, 10 returned, as I remember.
As General Carl's description of the battle indicates, Marines responded bravely and determinedly in the face of overwhelming odds. Carl's account reveals how, despite the best preparations, plans went awry once the enemy was engaged. Instead of going into battle with a six-plane division, there were only three aircraft that plunged into the Japanese attack force. Then he discovered that the Japanese fighters were at a higher-than-expected altitude. Carl became detached from the other two members of his flight. The one thing to be expected, an attack by an enemy aircraft, unfortunately did occur. The unexpected again occurred when the guns on his Wildcat aircraft jammed. So, this first combat outing was a real trial by fire. Carl's training, the understanding of his aircraft, his weapons systems, tactical astuteness, and clear-minded aggressive action allowed him to shoot down an enemy aircraft, and most importantly, to survive when most of his squadron mates did not. The question, then, is how realistic is our training today? Are Marines being trained to fully know their weapon or weapon systems, to take the initiative and to be flexible in combat, to expect the unexpected, and to remain clear-minded and purposeful when confronting an enemy that has all the advantages in a seemingly hopeless situation? For additional information on Marines at the Battle of Midway, read Marines at Midway by Lieutenant Colonel Robert D. Heinel, Jr., World War II, the Battle of Midway, From the Leatherneck, June 1992, by R.R. Keene, and Miracle at Midway, by Gordon Prange.